What's up, everybody? This is Carrick with ACG, and I'm here today with Silver, Go, Burns, and Rijiku, and we are doing the international podcast, today being the 10th of March. And I want to welcome Silver back, because he was not able to make it to the last one. He's got some stuff to talk about as well. I want to say thanks to all the new subscribers who are probably not watching this, but to the couple who are, I appreciate you watching the side content on the channel. It's very fun to do these, so I'm glad whenever we even get a couple new people announcing. It is funny. I don't know if you guys watch. I know Reg sometimes will comment in the you've all commented in the comment section, but it is funny because like you'll go and read it and you'll see somebody say, "Actually came for the reviews, but I really like the podcasts," which is crazy to me because you would think somebody who comes to the channel comes for a particular like attitude. And ours is different, definitely, on the podcast than it is for when I review things. Sup, everybody? This is Garrick with AC. So,
yo,
what up? So, I want to discuss something that I forgot to tell these guys prior to the podcast. We're just going to jump into news, but one thing I want to talk about is bad lip sync in video games. Okay, so. I'm working on a review for Styx Into Darkness. No, wait, Styx 2, I can't remember. I think it's Into Darkness, the sequel to Styx. As everybody knows, I actually really liked Styx. I thought it was a fantastic stealth game. But I'm noticing some issues with the lip syncing. And then I remembered that all of us, or most of us, have played Horizon. And Horizon had mumble face, where it's like, where their lips are like two forearms. And does that bother you guys? Let's just start with Silver. Does bad lip sync actually bother you?
It can. It sort of depends. It doesn't always. It depends on the situation and how bad it comes off. Like there are moments when it can be jarring, just like when you're watching like an animated movie or a live action film that's been dubbed or whatever, and the lip syncing doesn't match up with what's being said. It can sometimes be jarring.
But does it actively pull you out of the game, or are you just like, hey, whatever?
It does when it's jarring. Yeah, when it's jarring, it does pull you out of the game. But I don't know that I'd say it's generally a problem for me.
Gotcha.
It depends on the circumstances and the context in which it appears.
Is there a particular egregious game that you remember? Is there a particular game that when I say bad lip sync, you're like, oh my god?
There should be. I can't think of a specific one just offhand right now. Unfortunately,
have you played Horizon, Silver?
No, I haven't yet.
Oh darn. Darn.
But he's watched my Let's Play, so he knows what you're talking about.
Yeah. I mean, it's like their faces are Botoxed. Go, what about you? Does it bother you? Does it pull you out of games?
I feel the same way Silver does. Like, if it's, like, really off, yeah, it's obvious. And I can understand how difficult it can be, you know, graphically to try and get the lips to move at the right time. But, you know, they should do a better job of it because, you know, video games are nothing new. And yeah, that's kind of important. If you're going to have cutscenes, you're going to go to the effort of having 3D images of characters talking, having a conversation, you need to work on tweaking that and timing it right to where it actually feels like they're having a real conversation instead of, you know, something 5 seconds later with a delay.
Right. Right. Yeah. Is there a game for you that is egregious, like that you think of?
So I'm trying to think of one off the top of my head, and nothing's really coming to mind, but I'm sure there have been a couple that have been so obvious that you're like, oh my God, that's awful. Why did they ever allow that to happen?
Yeah. It's like, why move the people's lips anyway? If it's going to be mumblebrow where it's like their lips have been, you know, injected with fucking fatty filler, you might as well just move on. Reg, does it bother you at all? Reg?
Mostly if the graphics overall are very good, it's recognizable much easier.
Oh, I see what you're saying, right. Because everything else looks good, and then you see that, and you're like, what the fuck happened? Say,
okay, which language was the original one? Why doesn't it match up?
Exactly.
Yeah, it's like, maybe this was in Japanese, and they're translating over.
Yeah,
gotcha.
I mean, the Final Fantasy games, like Final Fantasy X, and I think Final Fantasy XII, they had pretty bad English lip-syncing that I recall. But that was because they were originally in Japanese.
Where that might be their head. Like this, and you're like, what the fuck is happening right now?
Or just the opposite with the you know, the Godzilla movies.
Oh, right.
Yeah. They put English over. They're still talking.
And you're like, that just doesn't work. For me, I would say like one that is noticeable is Horizon. The fact is that Horizon, a little bit like Mass Effect Andromeda, both seem to have an issue with faces. I'm not quite sure why. But it's like as we elevate the graphics, we notice those issues more. And just like Reg said, you do notice them more. So like Horizon, you're running through vistas and you're like, this is like I'm living in Avatar. And then somebody talks and you're like, this is a goddamn nightmare, you know, because they look like they look like freaky pieces of bacon with faces. Mm-hmm. Like it's something about it is really fucked up. So with Styx, you know, I can't say much about it. I'm playing through it. I can't give any final impressions, but I did notice what happens with Styx is it doesn't trigger. So sometimes his mouth will be closed and he'll be talking. And I'll be like, I wonder. And I'll be all, what? And I thought, oh, he's thinking inside of his head. And then there's two people talking and the guy's lips are like, and then his lips are all, and he's talking the entire time. I'm like, oh, you know, it sort of just brings me out of it. And one of the reasons why, as Reg stated, is because this Styx looks so much better than the original. It's laughable. Like when you turn on Styx 1, which I liked and I thought it looked great. And then you turn on this new one and like within the first 5 minutes, you're like, holy shit, they upgraded it. It's a whole new engine. And so you see this elevated graphics presentation, and then yeah, you see the lack.
Do you think maybe it was in French first? Because I mean, Cyanide is a French studio.
I don't, because when it does work, it works really well. In fact, you notice sibilance, you notice S's right. And F's actually looking really good on their lips. You notice plosives, you know, like any P words. You notice they're all of the actual. Muscles in the lips work well for those. So I think that what really happened is, number one, it's probably a bug, which is fine. But number two, sometimes when they do talk, it doesn't work as well. And what's weird is, as Go said, games aren't new. And so like, how does that occur? And that's one of the things I'm supposed to do an interview with the developers. It's one of the things I want to ask the developer about is like, how is it that you get good lip syncing in one cutscene, right? And then not very good lip syncing in the other. How does that happen? Doesn't somebody go and smooth everything? And it's just a little thing I noticed, and it drags me out of games a little bit. I mean, being honest, like I'm not a nitpicker when it comes to that stuff, but when everything looks great, yeah, and then somebody goes and it looks like they're fucking a ventriloquist, you're like, just sort of
on a sibilant note, something I was bugged a little by in Nier. Is that the subtitles always lag behind the spoken word. Like, did they talk? And several seconds later, the subtitle ends.
He's right. Shit, I didn't even think about that, but he's right. Yeah, the subtitles, people have got pissed at me when I do a review and music, sound, or voice, the banner comes up a little late or a little early. It just, people are just like, it's off by 0.2 seconds, oh my God! But an entire game like Nier would probably piss most normal people off. He's right. Like, they'll be all, what do you think about the blah, blah, blah? And then it'll be all, what do you think about the blah, blah, blah? You'd be all, and then they're talking over the top of the subtitle sometimes. So,
yes.
he's absolutely right. Leave it to Reg to bring up something. See, that's why Reg and I need to do a dual review, because Reg notices shit. I know people would think we would just nitpick, but we probably would. But it is funny because there's like stuff like that I noticed, but it didn't bother me until he said it. Now it's going to bother me every time I play the fucking game. speaking of Reg, let's discuss PS4 0.5 update, which you got to test as a beta, right?
Yeah, I tested it as a beta, and now it's out in the final form. Yesterday it released.
And it broke a bunch of your shit in the beta, right? I thought you were saying, like, I can't install, blah, blah, blah.
I couldn't preload, but I can say if preload works now because I downloaded Nier before I updated.
Okay. Good. All right.
So, can't talk about that.
Okay.
But my external drive is still working, so no issues going from the beta to the final version. That was good. External drive support works as you would expect and as it works on the other consoles, so... Mm-hmm. They are up to speed now, I would say. Only difference I saw compared to the Xbox, you can't copy stuff. You can only move stuff.
It looks like we may have a special visitor. I just saw Landau jump on, so I want to try to get a hold of him. Oh, he's busy right now. He'll get a hold of me. If anybody's watched the podcast in the past, Landau's somebody who worked in retail, and he's done a couple podcasts with us. Always interesting to hear from him. So hopefully he can jump in. I'll just leave his pick there for as long as I can. What's funny is he looks like some kind of Disney character. Oh, it's because of the headphones. So with the 4.5 update, would you say then that you? I mean, are you? It's a bunch of additions. Like,
That's true.
It's late, but it's they certainly are doing a ton of stuff.
Well, I'm glad that the external drive support is finally in. That's the big one I was waiting for.
And is it weird to you guys? How many years has it been now since the PS4 launched?
Two, three, 2014, right?
Yeah, and we're just getting
it.
Yeah, three, and we're just getting to it. It's so weird to think that external, especially on these hard these systems that came with small hard drives, when you consider the size of games.
Yes.
It's so. I always joke about this. People get mad, but I say, you know, you can't have one without the other, or you can't argue one way without the other. It is weird that we're in a generation where the manufacturers are like, go digital, but we're going to make it as hard as humanly fucking possible. And you're like,
yeah.
Why wouldn't external hard drives be instant? Why wouldn't cloud? Now, that's something I wanted to ask. Do you guys remember on the Xbox 360? Am I crazy? Couldn't you have a lot of cloud stuff? Couldn't you save a ton of stuff to the cloud? On the Xbox 360.
I only have up to 2 gigs on cloud because I've been transferring stuff over from, you know, when you make stuff backwards compatible, you're supposed to transfer it over by the cloud.
Mm-hmm.
So you can play it on Xbox One with
That's what it was.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just really surprised that it's taken this long for the community to finally get something that is actually a strength to the systems. You know?
Yeah.
It's one of those.
For sure. And they added a lot of other features too, so it was a really rather big feature update. There was a PlayStation VR firmware update, fixing some jittering or such, I think, and the resolution in the 2D mode. They now have 3D video playback in the VR headset.
Was it
3D Blu-rays? Voice chat on the PlayStation Remote apps works now. That didn't before.
And what's backgrounds? You said prior to the podcast, like custom.
Oh, yeah. And you can set game screenshots as your console background now.
Nice.
Okay. So what were we able to do, Caulfield? He's trying to get in. He's got to update Skype. What were we doing then on the... So dynamic backgrounds is the... Okay. So Sony allowed you to buy their dynamic backgrounds, because I have a dynamic background. But what they're saying now is what the Xbox can already do, which is you take
take some screenshot and put it as background.
I see. Yeah. I see. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Gotcha. So is the let's see. There's that. There's Beast Mode.
Yeah.
Boost Mode.
So I'm happy to see that finally get added in. I'm happy to see Sony sort of take the reins off and just be like, hey, if you guys want to try to see if this will make your game run better, go ahead. I think that's cool, because the thing is we have a lot of games on these systems that are at 30 FPS anyway, and they have issues between 25 and 30. That CPU upclock and stuff like that, that's more than enough to get you a couple extra frames. I mean, look at the Xbox One S. It gets you a couple, and it's barely faster. So, I'm excited to see how that really works, how Beast Mode works. And I keep calling it Beast Mode because that's sort of the way I feel it is. I'm really excited to see that. I think it should have been day one with the Pro, but maybe they were testing it. Maybe they were having some issues with certification for some games, but it's very cool that it's got added in. So if you have the PS4, that update, it went live today or yesterday?
Yesterday.
Okay. So let's talk about Shadow of War, which is Shadow of Mordor's sequel, Shadow of War, Dawn of War. Twilight of Dawn of Horizon of War.
Such a dumb title.
So speaking about the gameplay, so yesterday the video came out, it had a walkthrough. Unfortunately, they committed a couple sins, which I think really hurt them with some gamers. A lot of us who know what they're doing, it's not a big bother. But the people who didn't were really confused. It didn't look like you had any combo system at all, because they had stupidly turned up the power on that character so that he was killing people with every hit. For example, he shot the fucking catapult with an arrow and the fucking catapult exploded, and he shot wood. He didn't shoot like the fiery part of the catapult. He was killing main bosses with one shot, and it looked really odd, because the fighting combos are what, you know, hang on. Lando. Let's see. He says he's ready.
He's ready.
Cool.
The coasty
returns. What's up,
Lando?
Hello?
Hello.
Welcome back, man.
Hey.
We'll leave this in. So, like I said, everybody, Lando, he's done a couple podcasts with us, and he informed me that he was back for a little bit, so he's jumping in. Let's just continue this conversation. We were just talking about the Shadow of War, the Mordor 2 trailer that came out yesterday. Did you get to watch any of it, Lando?
I watched a little bit of it. I didn't watch all 16 minutes of it, but okay. I saw some like the highlights and stuff. I'm super excited.
Okay, well, we'll start with you once I get done here. I was just bitching about it. So basically, I like a lot of what I saw, but again, they turned up the power too high for the character, so it looked really weird. And combos are how you break up the monotony of running to a dude and killing them. I mean, that's really the way games are. You know, you don't want to play Mike Tyson's punch out and hit a guy and have him die right away. You want to see all of the punches between. And they removed all that. And so you have this really disjointed moment. Like there's a part where he's fighting a guy on a cliff and he ignores the boss and goes and kills some random dude and then turns around and attacks the boss. And it makes you think, are these guys not very powerful? Like, are they not threatening? I did like the nemesis system, the adjustments to it. We were just talking the night before in Discord about what I wanted, and they hit almost everyone, which is like unique strengths against what you are doing and stuff like that. So I thought it was very cool. Landau, you got to watch some of it. What did you think?
I liked what I saw. His face looks weird to me.
Yeah,
that was
it does.
That was the one thing that I pulled from it, that his face looks really weird. Other than that, I mean, it looks really similar to the first one. I saw that, you know, you can ride a dragon and you can like have your army kind of be there with you during the fight. That's all really cool. I think I'm going to like it just because I really like the first one. I don't know. It seems very similar. So I think that I'm going to enjoy it.
So I have a question for you. If you liked the original, which I thought was okay, but I found it easy because of the way I played. One of the things that worries me, does it worry you or scare you, the idea of like having like all these armies fighting and like being more disjointed? Like just like, oh, this bad guy's here, this bad guy. Like, I don't want it to be Dynasty fucking Warriors.
Yeah. I don't know. It depends how large scale they make it, you know, and how consistently they keep that scale.
Right.
So it could, but I don't know. Like, you had some battles like that, I feel like, that were in the original Shadow of Mordor, like, you know, where your army would come in. I just don't know what scale they're planning to keep that at.
Yeah, that's
because,
true.
You know, you kind of have to build your army up before you get to that scale. And also, usually, when you're in those battles, you're usually only trying to kill, like, one orc. You know,
right.
There's like that one bad orc that you're trying to get to. And the other ones are just kind of like doing their own fighting thing. That's how I feel like it's probably going to be. Yeah. But I don't know. It could turn out that way.
Glad to see another fan for it. Silver, what did you think when you saw it?
I was unimpressed. It set off like a bell in the back of my mind that this is just the usual marketing stuff for video games, where it didn't really feel so much like a gameplay trailer as it felt like a proof of concept video.
Right.
Where I don't really feel like what we saw in that trailer is going to be necessarily reflective of how the game is going to play directly. I think it'll probably play a lot like the first one. But yeah, I was just there. The scripting seemed really, really heavy on it. Like all the last minute saves that came from those nemesis orcs, they were a little too convenient.
And you would not want that happening every fucking time either. Can you imagine like fighting a guy and every time you're fighting somebody, one of your dudes is like, "I stole your kill." You'd be like, "Motherfucker, I'm gonna come over there. I'm gonna bitch slap you.
Yeah.
Like, knock it off." So yeah, there were some oddities there. You're right. The scripting felt incredibly heavy. And I want to make sure people understand who are watching, that we're not at all being negative towards the game. We're just talking about the trailer appearing a little odd and trying to glean what's actually occurring versus what they showed. So,
I'm looking forward to it. The game seems to be bringing forward some interesting ideas. So I'm looking forward to it. I just thought that particular trailer was reflective of the usual marketing stuff we often see from video game companies.
Right. Yeah. I agree with that. What about you, Go?
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing that a lot of the people that are watching have to realize, and they clearly stated it in the video, that it was an alpha gameplay. This is not going to be the final product. And I know, unfortunately, there's a lot of people out there that don't know the difference between final product and alpha and beta, but it's right. important to point out. And I feel at the same time, like you guys do, that it did feel very, very scripted. The saddest part was when the Drake died. I mean, that Drake should have been somewhere in a cave nursing some gold, you know?
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Why are you making me cry doing a trailer? And I agree, and I think that, you know, they made it clear that it was in the later game, so that character was turned up to 11. You know, his power was infinite. Mm. I mean, the dude was like one hitting the bosses. So, which is crazy, because here's my opinion. Get somebody good at the game. Don't turn off your damage. Damage was turned off as well, they admitted.
Yep.
Let somebody who knows how to dodge and juke and move around the game world, let them play. Yeah. And I'm not, you know, they can do whatever they want because it does look interesting. But I think that it would have looked far more dynamic and it would have looked more interesting if a person had to watch out. Because there's one time where the guy gets hit and you can tell he knows damage is off. He's just like, you know, walking through it. You're like, motherfucker, you're not the Terminator. So, yeah.
No, I agree.
What about you, Reg?
I'm pretty much what has already been said. It didn't spark my interest more than it was already. I thought, okay, I like the first one. I'll keep my eyes on the second one when it comes around or it gets closer to release. But I didn't see anything I didn't expect. Let's put it like that.
Yeah, and I don't know about you, Reg, but like I'm a little nervous of the power of the consoles being able to do it, because like the Xbox One and PS4 both had some issues with the original resolution and frame rate wise too. So I'm actually a little tentative of if you're going to have all these amazing creatures that are unique and on your team and the enemy's team, like graphically, are we going to see a 720p game, you know, or something like that? Like I would hate to see that. So yeah, there's some interesting stuff. I'll just say that, it didn't make me more interested, but that's not because the game doesn't look like it'll probably be interesting. It's because I think the trailer was poorly handled. And so we have to sort of guess on what's occurring. Anybody have anything to add to that before we move on about those games?
Well, I agree entirely that the title should be something different, like Shadow of Sauron, not Shadow of War.
Yeah, so generic of generic. Noun, verb, noun. And you're like, God, really? I mean, the naming conventions lately are so, I mean, you know, and Horizon, one of my friends was
Horizon Zero Dawn.
Yeah, one of my friends was like, dude, Horizon Zero Dawn, Horizon 3. Like, it's this weird thing where it feels like people are just, they really are getting their names from some PR company that's like, we have an idea. You know, in a world, and you're like, no, please, God, not again. So
basically, just all these words on a chalkboard, and they just throw darts at them.
Yeah. Or Tom Clancy. Yeah. You throw Tom Clancy in front of anything. Tom Clancy, Shadow of War. That'd be awesome, actually, now that I think about it.
There was that Act of War, wasn't there, or something?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Wasn't that
World at War or something?
No, there was World of War. There was World in Conflict. Here's the thing. World at War, World in Conflict, World in Conflict, which is a really good RTS. That game
World of Tanks from Massive Entertainment.
Yeah, World of Tanks, World of Planes. Yep. World of Boats. It's like there should be some things that you can't talk about in a game. Like you can no longer use Shadow and you can no longer use War in your titles. Like that'd be awesome if a PR company was like, people, stop it. Knock it off. They just call it like the slight less bright area of battle. Like, that's the thing. They would figure out a way around it, wouldn't they?
the humorous thing about the Batman Arkham series, they always have to now come up with a reason to give it an Arkham.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I know. I'm like, move on, guys. Everybody's going to figure it out. Like, right? You're not going to magically go, must not be the same thing. I don't know who this Cal dude is. He's not Batman, though, because it doesn't call it Arkham. You know, it's like gamers are fucking, they have a pretty high IQ, some of them, depending on the comments in the YouTube section, but most have a pretty high IQ. And it's like, they're going to figure out that it's fucking Batman, that it's made by the same people pretty quickly. But yeah, I don't know what that issue is. So moving on, let's talk about Zelda impressions. So Landau, have you got to play it?
I touched it. I touched a switch and I moved a little character around. I was like, that's cool. And then that's about it.
And flicked the card.
And then had an allergic reaction. So we'll go back around this way. Reg, let's hear your Zelda impressions.
Pretty good, actually, because after the first day where I tried the dock and was disappointed, I never touched it again and only played in mobile mode. Mm-hmm. And there it actually works pretty fine, plays nicely. Yeah, I'm actually happy with the game and the console.
All right, deteriorating weapons. What do you think?
I'm not a fan in any game, really. Especially not about the speed in which they break. Then again, you find so many weapons everywhere that it's a non-issue. Yeah. Then again, it is such a non-issue that the question is, why do they break so fast?
You're now you're beating me to the punch of you can't have it one way without looking at it the other way. And that's the fact is like, yeah. if your entire world's made out of fucking paper mache, then there's a problem with your game world. And if that's a crux and the cycle of gameplay is to continually pick up husks of meat to beat people to death with, like, is that really where your time should be spent? I think it would be better if it just that didn't happen and they curbed the amount of weapons down. But I know some people are okay with it. I don't like it in pretty much any game because it's unrealistic. Dude, I've beaten with a crowbar in high school, by the way. I did not kill anybody. But we went and we did different tests and, you know, dead animals, pigs, things that we got from slaughterhouses. And we were doing it for a different reason. But I'm going to tell you right now, we use the same crowbar all year. And that crowbar didn't fucking suddenly get bent and fall apart, right? Like, it's ridiculous, man. I mean, it's just, it becomes unrealistic. Go, what about you? What are your thoughts on Zelda?
Yeah, I feel like with the weapons, like, some of them it makes sense that they would break, like the, you know, branch twigs you get at the very beginning. Yeah, but later on, there are weapons that you get that you can repair. And I'd rather them just have a repair system for the basic weapons than you losing this really cool sword you like or this really cool bow you loved using. That kind of sucks. But like Red said, I do like the fact that there's like a ton of weapons around. Plus, sometimes it's funny just to grab a mop and just go ham and cheese on some of these.
Oh, no,
villains.
That's always funny. Trust me. That's always funny. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, I'm loving the game. I think it's safely in my top three of Zelda games, along with the original and Ocarina of Time. You can just get so lost playing that game. It's like yesterday. I went out to the desert and then I started climbing a mountain. And I wouldn't stop climbing. I kept climbing and climbing and climbing and looting and killing. And before I realized, I'm like, what the hell am I doing? I'm lost. No, and I was enjoying every moment of it.
That's the journey, man. That's awesome.
Yep.
Like, that's mm-hmm. fucking, that's awesome. That speaks to, like, one of the strengths of the game. What about you, Silver?
Well, like you guys, I thought I was going to hate the decaying weapons mechanic because I hate it generally in games. But I actually found myself... I kind of had to change my mentality about it, and I actually started enjoying it because it forced me to change up my tactics continually and to try weapons that I otherwise wouldn't have tried.
That is absolutely
and
true.
And use that.
Right. That's true.
And I really enjoyed that aspect of it. I came to enjoy it, rather. I'm really enjoying the game. I'm really enjoying like the way the different gameplay mechanics interact with each other within the game world. Like the other day, I got ambushed by an assassin during a thunderstorm, and I put all my metal equipment away, but he was still wielding his metal sickle. So when he was charging at me, he started shooting sparks. And then he started charging at me, and right before he hit me, the lightning just struck him down and obliterated him. And I just couldn't stop laughing for like 2 minutes. And it's the game world is just full of stuff like that. Like you can get these Octorok, the stomach of these Octorok octopuses that shoot boulders and use them as balloons. And you can tie it to a remote explosive and then drift that remote explosive with a leaf. And then use the wind from that to drift the balloon with the remote explosive into a Bokoblin camp and then just blow them all away. it's just the game is just full of like stuff like that that you can interact with and see how it interacts with each other within the game world. And it's wonderfully inventive.
Tom Clancy's Zelda. That's what it sounds like when you're talking about remote bombs and shit. You're like, tripwires, claymores.
Solid 5.
There is one aspect of it that I've really come to hate, though. The motion control puzzles in some of the shrines.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They're garbage.
I solved one of them by flipping the puzzle upside down.
Yeah.
You're just timing it to where I would just lift it where the ball would just fly into the slot.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Okay, I never thought about that. Yeah, that would work. What about you, Landau? So you've only got to touch it. Do you own a Switch now?
No, I don't own a Switch yet. It came out the day I graduated basic training. So cool. I didn't know when I left, there was no release date. So when I came out, I was like,
yeah,
oh, the Switch is out. Oh, okay. So I was at Walmart when I figured it out, cause I just got a PS4 again. And, that's what I decided to buy. And I didn't even know the Switch was out, but by the time that I got to Walmart, there was zero Switches anywhere.
Right.
So, no, I don't have one yet. I plan to get one though, whenever there's some more games for it.
I understand.
Just because, you know, I'll play the hell out of Zelda, but I need some more games for it before I can like buy the console, you know.
Well, yeah, no console is worth $360, or no game is worth $360, which is what exactly. You're playing.
Plus have a pro. To add the pro controller.
So
yeah.
So I've been using the Gennaro controller, not the pro, but the, you know, the thing you get in there and you slide the. Yeah. That one works fine for me. Like, I mean, I've got the pro, which is great, by the way. It's, I mean, a huge step up. But you know what? I can play with the other controller. Like, it's not horrible. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, and Landau, make sure to stick around after the podcast because I want to talk to you about your basic and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I would just say that I would probably agree with what everybody says here, that the weapons falling apart doesn't necessarily have to be in the game. It doesn't break it, but that's because they add other concessions, and it only leaves me with a question of why. If they have all these other, you know, you've got all these weapons, and I think Go and Silver sort of mentioned that it, you know, it does adjust your strategy. So I guess there is that, which is cool. It's a different style, but it doesn't adjust it in a way that's new. It adjusts it in the same way that a Dead Island does, or that any other game. And I'm not necessarily sure that I think I can say, look at the positive of Zelda having weapons that fall apart because look how good Dead Island was. Like that doesn't make any sense to me. When in fact there's so much awesome about Zelda otherwise that feels weird. So I guess that's what I mean. When I look at Zelda and I see weapons falling apart like they're made of fucking wicker, whispers, and hope. And you're like, these fucking weapons fall apart after, what is going on? And then everything else seems so well made. And so like there's a dichotomy there. For me, overall impressions of Zelda, yeah, it's pretty good. There's definitely issues with that game. I don't know where some of these scores are coming from. Like, I don't quite get it because I'm not even talking about the FPS issues. I like a lot of the game though. So I can see where people like it, but I've only played 25 hours. So maybe at 27 hours, it magically changes, but it hasn't become classic to me like it has Go, but it's become good to me like maybe it has for Silver, where it's a good game. It just hasn't become like the top Zelda game yet, or top three. Well, maybe top three. I mean, Zelda doesn't really have the best, like if you look at the Zelda sequels, some of them sucked anyway, so it's not like being a top three.
Can't say I agree there.
Oh, dude. you think every Zelda game is great?
Outside of the ones on the like CD, I don't remember.
Oh, CDI Philips.
No, Zelda 2 sucked.
Oh, the old like 3DO ripoff. What were you saying, Go? I'm sorry.
Zelda 2 is an example.
I'm gonna be honest. I wasn't Twilight Princess. I was not a fan of that much. Strangely enough,
that's fair enough.
Wind Waker, though.
Other people who didn't. Yeah, Wind Waker.
Wind Waker.
I mean, this game really reminds me of Wind Waker.
It does. It does remind me of that.
The enemy designs are incredibly similar. They're all almost like taken straight out of that game.
You know what else I like about this one? Is the sense of journey is there for sure. But I do like the fact that when you're interacting, remember, this is a Nintendo system. It's not super powerful. But when you're interacting with grass and stuff running through it, and pollen, I actually thought that was pretty cool. It wasn't like Horizon level, but the system needs to be like twice as powerful to be that. So moving on, let's talk about another game that's that Silver actually fucking completely just changed. He completely, man, last night when you said something about this game and I read your comment and I was like, he can't be, there's no fucking way that works. And then I went and tried it, and that's Wildlands. Tom Clancy's Wildlands. But the thing that I'll let Silver explain this. I don't even know if you call it a cheat or God mode, but it's fucking awesome, man. Landau, have you played Wildlands?
My dad just picked it up yesterday. I was watching him playing it, and I've seen a lot of the game because I'm a huge Tom Clancy fan.
Me too. Yeah.
So I'm informed.
Yeah, me too.
Are you gonna try to play it when you get a chance?
I don't know. It doesn't look that great.
Right.
I'm going to watch my dad play it a lot. I'll probably play it on the Xbox that we have in there if I get a chance. But
it's not dragging you to it or anything?
It's not really pulling me in. No. I don't know. I kind of want to play it, but it's one of those games that seems like if I get it, like I won't hate playing it, you know, but I won't play it for very long.
Right.
So I'm trying not to get a whole lot of those games.
Yeah, you basically have to play it with friends.
Exactly.
Yeah, anyway. It's one of the few games that should just be priced at $180 to get three friends to buy it as well. Like, yeah. It's the oddest game I've seen. Silver, first of all, yeah. Okay, how did you find, did somebody tell you about this?
No, I just, I had enough, because I've been playing the game on extreme difficulty.
Right.
And the main thing that's really been killing my enjoyment is the defense missions, where you have to defend the radio. A radio meter. You talked about it in your review of it,
right.
Where it just keeps spawning enemies. And on top of that, on extreme difficulty, the emitter basically has paper for armor. The enemies will start shooting at it as soon as they spawn in.
Right.
And they'll just start shooting at it from like minuscule angles and stuff. So right. You basically can't protect it. So eventually I had enough of retrying over and over again. And I just went out and I picked up some vehicles like a van and an SUV. And I just parked them around the emitter to shield it from gunfire.
And it worked.
And it worked.
No, it doesn't just work. It's a fucking God toggle, man. The first time I tried it, I was like, because you said it in the Discord. I'm like, park cars around. Of course. Like that would work, and yes, you're right, like some of the spawning is just so bad in those particular levels, and so I was like, yeah. Okay, and I did it, and I went from like, you know, where it's a war where you really are trying hard, to where I was just sitting back walking around just going like bang bang at dudes because they were shooting the cars. It's crazy, man. What do you think of Wildlands though, Silver, like as a whole?
It's very mixed. I enjoy the like the stealth tactical aspects of clearing out outposts.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like just methodically, slowly. That plays very well to me. But the AI is just, it's broken. I can't really say it any other way, because there are so many moments where it just fails to work. Like
it brings the artificial into artificial intelligence.
Yeah, AI will just stand there and do nothing, or your own AI teammates, even though you tell them to attack, they'll just stand there and watch. Like, I had one guy, I went down at one point, and one of my AI teammates went over to revive me, and he just stood there and looked at my corpse without doing anything.
Maybe you pissed him off, you know, on he was like, fuck you, Silver.
I had one defense mission in one of the higher difficulty zones where the enemies just didn't spawn. Like, just 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes just went by without anything happening.
Oh, that happened to me.
My squad started bantering with each other because no enemies spawned.
Yeah, that's happened to me quite a number of times on the defense missions.
Yeah, just no, it's so buggy. And the AI is just basically non-existent, it seems, for a lot of both the enemies and your own teammates, which really kills the enjoyment to an extent, which is why you really need to play this game with friends, for teammates.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's a power trip game where, because the AI is so bad that if you get three friends, you can just mow down some bad guys, sit back, drink a beer, whatever.
Yeah.
It doesn't require much. And it won't really, you won't see a dude meandering very long because a friend will kill him if you don't. So I think that, yeah, if you have some friends who are playing it, it definitely, I mean, it's almost a different game. It becomes passable when you have friends, but by yourself. Because I have a lot of people who are like, oh, is this like Arma? And I'm all... if you had the polar opposite of Arma, you would still not even be anywhere near what Ghost Recon is, or what Wildlands is compared. Yeah. Go, what about you? You don't own it. Are you going to?
I was going to play the beta, but I never got around to getting it.
Gotcha.
And I will say that its strength is the ability to play with friends, like guys have been saying. Yeah. It's the only way that game even seems palatable. I've seen a lot of Let's Plays, plus your review on it, and it's just not a game that you should play by yourself. It's definitely not. If that's your entire reason for getting it, you should just save your money.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Or, again, double that money and buy it for a friend and be like, hey, you want to play this crappy game together?
Yeah.
Reg, what about you?
Yeah.
well spoken, Reg.
That's my score.
You're using too much bandwidth on the talking, dude.
No, I played about an hour with Silver the other day,
mm-hmm.
and I totally broke his stealth stealth mode. I was basically Rambo.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, I guess in that game, if you do have two people who play polar opposites, you're going to be... It's definitely going to be a unique situation, because one person will be sneaking, and those enemies are weird because sometimes they won't see you, and then sometimes they'll see you 600 yards away, and you're like, what the fuck? Like, it's very questionable on what's going on.
Yeah, I'm like 2 feet in front of an enemy, and he still has this LiDAR that he's spotting me. It's like, what? Yeah.
Oh, dude, one time I hit on the wrong side of a tractor, and a guy was staring at me, and that's what happened. It's like, it was doing the thing where it's like he's figuring it out, and I'm all, okay. So I walked around the edge of the tractor, and then it went away, and I'm like, doesn't he fucking, what? Like, and I know a lot of people are like, well, that happens in other games. They're absolutely right. What we're bringing up is the fact that there's multiple little issues that all combine to become a problem. Yeah. So
they all add up.
They all add up.
Physics or stuff like that.
Or lack of. You know, I gotta be honest, though. When you have three or four friends and you're in a fucking Suburban and you're like, you know, trying to capture a convoy at full speed and they're out the side of the fucking car shooting, those are some fucking insanely fun moments. Like, but it doesn't feel like Tom Clancy at all. It doesn't even feel like a Ghost Recon.
No.
It feels like a mod for Call of Duty. Or something like that. Like, that's what it feels like. It actually feels much more like a Call of Duty than any game I've ever seen with Tom Clancy on the title. And, but those moments are a blast. Or in the tractor, trying to chase somebody down at 10 miles an hour. Be like, we'll get him, Johnny! We'll get him! I've had friends be like, let's get a faster car. And I'm like, no, motherfucker. It's all, it's like Tortoise in the Hare. We'll catch him.
That sounds like something Deadpool would do.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
I'm going to kill you with a tractor.
What, Reg?
I will say, though, the game does have some really beautiful landscapes. Like, oh, dude, I enjoy just like hiking in it, up in the mountains or something.
Yeah.
It's very beautiful in that way.
Yeah. Reg, what were you going
to
say?
I was saying it feels more like Just Cause to me.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah, it does to an extent.
Just Wildlands. Because Tom Clancy's Bland Lands, as I call
it. Just Cause is also fairly buggy, usually. So.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Just Cause, I would assume most people like Just Cause because of the awkwardness of things that occur. Like, I mean, most of the time when I talk to people, that is a buying... It's like one of the reasons why they bought it, because they know that it is...
I would say it's a much more tame version of Just Cause, basically.
Right. Yeah, I mean... I don't know what else to say that I didn't say in the review. It's not for me. It wasn't necessarily bad. It was just bland. It was one of those games where I was like, oh, this isn't, you know, because I have a lot of people who are totally in agreement, and then people who are like, it's the funnest game in the world, and I'm like, dude, I'm happy you're finding fun in that game, but for me, there is fun has to exist in this ecosystem to sort of make sense, and a lot of the things in that game just fall apart, and. You know, it's like, oh, well, if you're not into having fun, you won't have fun with this game. Dude, come the fuck on. Like, it's just some games are bland. Statement. Yeah. I mean, I think we've all seen it, you know, with a movie that everybody likes and you don't. And Wildlands happens to be that game for me, at least. But it seems weird because we all sort of agree it is just sort of bland. Like, it's fun, but it's got some AI issues. I saw somebody gave it a 9 out of 10, and I was like, oh, they played a different version of Wildlands than I did.
Fair enough. Yeah.
I saw 4.5 out of 5.
Yeah.
I was like, what? I don't know about all that. I told my dad to buy it, though. I recommended he buy it because it didn't look that good to me. But I told my dad to buy it because he likes the whole, like, repetitive, like, collect everything.
America!
Like,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Far Cry 4, holy shit. He 100%ed that game, and, like, every night he would just be doing the same mission over and 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 collecting all this stuff over and over and over. Okay. Yeah. So I was like, Dad, you need to buy this game because I hear it's repetitive. So.
and before people think me puking was a sign that that sucks. Well, it does suck, but... the thing about Far Cry 4 and the repetitiveness is I get why some people like it, like your dad. Mm-hmm. Some people like that. I had one guy who's like, listen, man, when I come home, I have a hard job. I come home. I don't want a lot of story. I just want to jump in and shoot some stuff. This is the game. For me, it's bland, but this is the game that if you don't find it bland, you would really like because you can just run around and and it's cool because it's just like stronghold. One thing about the game though is it does appear to be this very it's almost like a bunch of kids went in a backyard and made some forts. And the reason why I say this is because the bad guys are nowhere else but in their protected areas. So there, aside from a car or an occasional helicopter,
I don't get the point of those cars, because as soon as they spot you, they just drive off.
Exactly.
Like, they don't even engage you.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't get why they're there.
And and what I wanted was a sum of all fears, kind of moment, or a moment. What's not Patriot Games, the other one, but the Marines are in a fucking gully and they're being shot at. I wanted to be walking down a valley and have like a random patrol.
Yeah.
Like show that dynamic of like, oh, fuck, like this is not as safe. Because here's the thing. Yeah. I can sprint full speed, firing off guns at random villagers, and nothing happens until I get within 50 feet of a base. And
That's fucking stupid.
And so to me, that added in with the other things is what was bothering me. That's why it felt bland. And a lot of people would be like, well, I don't want to be bothered all the time. I agree. But then the cars that are lit up as enemies should at least try to attack you. Because, yeah, they'll drive right by. And you'll be like, dude, that's a bad guy.
What? I mean,
he's a bad guy?
The closest you get to that are the patrolling Unidad choppers, the police choppers that occasionally, like, interfere with your... with your engagements that are pretty annoying. They're basically the closest you get to that. But other than that, you're totally right. There's nothing there outside of the outposts.
I feel like that's kind of like a good commentary as to where Tom Clancy games are as a whole. Because Tom Clancy games, the whole thing about Tom Clancy games, which is why we all became a fan in the first place, was tension.
Yeah.
There was always tension constantly. And it didn't matter which Tom Clancy game you're playing. Like if you're playing Ghost Recon, Jungle Storm, that was the most tense moment of your life. Like, Splinter Cell. And after Splinter Cell Double Agent is Splinter Cell Conviction.
Conviction.
Even though I love Conviction. But
it changed, didn't it?
It changed Tom Clancy as a whole instead of changing Splinter Cell. And every Tom Clancy game has the same mechanics and everything, you know?
Didn't Tom Clancy already change with Rainbow Six Vegas? I would say that
I feel like Vegas
was a middle ground, I thought.
Yeah, I think that was a middle ground, but... I feel like Conviction is the part where it really just flipped over, because that's where Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter was a lot like Rainbow Six, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, so I feel like those games were still kind of Tom Clancy. They were just adapting to the new era. I think Conviction was such a huge departure with how fast it was and how you were just a killing machine instead of the enemies being killing machines.
Yeah.
Now every Tom Clancy game, because I feel like Wildlands looks a lot like Future Soldier.
And
Future Soldier looks a lot like Conviction, and the list goes on. And the only game that's really departed from that Tom Clancy formula that they have set up right now is Rainbow Six Siege, which I don't feel like Siege is necessarily a good example of what a Tom Clancy game is, but it's really good. So
I like
it.
Yeah, that's the thing, is just because we're decrying the fact that things have changed doesn't mean that there can't be a good one, because Siege is insane. I like Siege when it started. And Siege has only got better. I like Division, and Division has only got better. So that's one of the things I brought up in the review, is that over time we can see Wildlands get some... Because Ubisoft, if anything, is a company that continues to adjust their games now. Like, it's not like a lot of other companies where they're all, hello, oh, this didn't sell so well, or it wasn't loved, or blah, 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 and we're just cutting. Ubisoft is like, no, we're going to support it. I mean, Division's not even getting a second... They're not even getting a sequel. They're doing a second season of DLC. So
really?
Yeah, which is awesome to me, because I don't necessarily feel the Division needs a whole new fucking game. Destiny does, because Destiny has some inherent problems in its actual, the way the engine works and the way things, you know, work. But with Division, I would love to see a fucking survival mode for Wildlands or something, you know, like some of the things we've seen in Division roll out to Wildlands. Wildlands also feels weird, because when you play it, you choose a difficulty and you can turn it up, but the AI really doesn't adjust much to the difficulty, except they can shoot farther and they hit harder, but they don't do anything smarter. Like they're still, they still will get caught between two trees. Like I said in the review, it's like a Minotaur maze. That one of the guys, he was an enemy. People thought he was like between two trees for like 35 minutes. And I just sat there laughing for all 35 minutes at this guy just like, you know.
And thank God your guys teleport, because they get stuck all the time.
Thank God they teleport. You know, it's why I mentioned in the review, because I know people would have been like, why didn't you mention that? I'm happy it's got teleport, because if they didn't, my guy would still be at the starting base. Like, yeah. let them teleport. But I think that for folks who like it, I'm super stoked because I don't want anybody spending $60 and being unhappy.
No, of course not.
But I think that personally for me, I think that there some. I think that with all of the lessons they could have learned from Division, and they could have learned from some of these other games, I would have liked to have seen them roll those out to Wildlands day one, not in DLC later. I would have liked to have seen some of those changes.
Right.
So that's it for Wildlands, unless anybody has anything to add extra about Wildlands. Reg is like, meh, meh. That would be Reg's answer for everything. Meh.
Yeah.
Meh.
I think that pretty much summed it up.
It did. It did. Let's talk about Carmack suing ZeniMax. So ZeniMax sued Facebook, mm-hmm. and they won.
Well, partially. They got awarded $500 million.
$500 million, small amount. No big deal. Facebook will just pay
that. They wanted a couple billion, so
yeah. Facebook will just write that off. And then and then Carmack turned around this yesterday and announced that he's suing ZeniMax for what? Slander or
outstanding payment.
Yeah.
For the purchase of its software.
Yeah.
So they must have held that back because of the lawsuit, maybe. They thought they could get away with holding back payment. Well, that's stupid.
Well, apparently they still have till June to pay according to original contract.
Okay.
From what I read. But the two lawyers were talking, and their lawyer, ZeniMax lawyer, apparently said, like, oh, we ain't going to pay if we don't have to. So now he's already suing before the date is due because they basically said they won't pay.
Oh, well, yeah. Man, what a disaster. Like,
yeah.
Does anybody have anything to add to that whole debacle? Like, I mean, it sucks.
The disaster sums it up pretty well.
Yeah. I mean, it sucks because it's weird because the Rift was at one time like the main thing. And now like Vive has taken it over. The Rift has issues of all kinds. And it's just weird to think that the pioneers are. I mean, Time Magazine had fucking Lucky Palmer, like, you know, leaping and skipping on their fucking cover. And now it's like. I mean,
but that's often how it goes, isn't it? The pioneers are the ones who die to all the diseases, and then people get to build.
Yeah, that's true. Anybody played Oregon Trail, motherfucker? This is Oregon Trail Business Edition.
Dysentery for everybody.
Create your company and then be destroyed, and then somebody else will come and grab your patents. Thank you.
Yeah.
I just hope the Rift gets its shit together. Personally.
So do I.
Because it's such a good product, but they just don't. They're just doing it wrong.
Oh yeah.
I don't know.
And they've got some issues with their sensors for their room scale that I guess I heard that they actually yesterday admitted that there were some issues. So yeah, I would like to see that all get fixed. We'll see if it does. I like to see competition, even though with VR, even one person making a VR headset seems to be too much right now. Cause it's caught on for PSVR, which is great, but games wise, we're not seeing. Matter of fact, I got a PR statement from somebody and they're like, the award winning. And they were talking about a VR game. And I'm like, you have won no awards. And I emailed them that back. I emailed the company back and I'm like, listen, I don't know what you're talking about. Don't ever send me that again. Cause you haven't won any awards. You've won zero awards. And like, it's a game that's brand new. No one's played and it's on VR. And you're not award winning, you know, stuff like that. It's sort of sad. It's like shovelware, right? I mean,
yeah.
And it's the one place where you don't want shovelware. I mean, Resident Evil was fucking awesome.
I just started playing that.
Have you played it with PSVR yet?
No, I don't have a
fantastic.
PSVR.
Oh, gotcha.
No, man.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And it's a great game by itself. Yeah. It's, yeah, that game is, I know a lot of people are like, it's not Resident Evil. And you can think that as much as you want. They think it's Resident Evil and they own the IP and they create the company.
So, yeah.
You know, in the game. But
plus, it's fucking awesome. So,
yeah. How far have you got? Are you just starting?
Well, I was watching my sister play for the longest time. And then I decided, like, I had fallen. I was just going to, like, watch her play and then pick up the controller and then watch her play. And then, like, we'd take turns. But then I fell asleep for a long time. So then I restarted and made my own game. So I just beat the redneck guy in the garage. Again, and then I just got down into the basement where all those black things are, and then I've seen past that up to the fight where he's got the scissor chainsaws.
Gotcha.
But that's as far as I've seen so far.
I do have to say good. The boss battles are They're fucking awesome in that game. I don't know. Yeah. Like the first time the dude gets in the fucking car inside the garage, and I'm like, what is going, what the fuck is happening right now? You know, like and this is 211, man.
It's funny because the boss battles aren't even good because of like the combat. Like the combat's kind of just like the AI's bad. They just kind of come up to you and swing their whatevers. And,
but it's
just shooting.
It's the mechanisms that occur.
Yeah, exactly. It's like how different things can go too. Because like in that garage fight, he can get in the car.
Correct. Yeah.
But you can also just go and pick up the keys and get in the car before he does.
Yep, right.
And every boss fight is like that. Like every boss fight has things that can happen differently every time. And so it's weird because the mechanics, if those systems weren't in place, they would be stupid and boring and like dumb. But since they've put those systems in place, it really elevates it. It's really impressive. It's really cool.
Yeah, I would say the boss battles, I mean, and remixed mode, if you play it again, changes a bunch of stuff as well. Game's actually got a lot of replayability, and maybe I didn't do as good of a job in the review as I should have explaining that to people, but the boss battles alone have a ton of replayability because of the different things that can occur. But then if you do remastered difficulty, which I think is called, it's not Nightmare. Oh, I can't remember the name. Madhouse. I think it's Madhouse difficulty. Isn't that right, Reg? Madhouse difficulty is the hardest on... I think it's Madhouse. And it readjusts everything. Like, where items are, what... And puzzles. It's pretty insane, man. They did a lot of work on that game. So, you know, hats off to those guys. I mean...
Yeah, really great.
Yeah,
best Capcom game in a while.
Oh, yeah. I think. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm trying to think of something since Dragon's Dogma I've been really... like leaping for and
when they go all in and they can really knock it out of the park, but
yeah, definitely. It's like Platinum with Nier. It's like you have Nier and then you have fucking Legend of Korra or Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles,
and you're like, they know how to port to PC.
Yeah,
it's really good.
But it is weird that you have these companies that have like a 50-50 output. It's like they have their C games, and then all of a sudden a game comes, and you're like, "What the fuck? Is this a different team? Like, what's like this team actually knows how to make a game?" I'm sorry, but Legend of Korra and fucking Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles should have never been released. They're like the fucking oh man. Has anybody played either one of those?
Nope.
Oh, no reason.
I've only seen gameplay from Korra and a little bit of Turtles as well.
I was excited for Turtles.
So was I.
Then it came out and I was like, oh no, it's shit.
And you know what's funny? I was not for Nier. And Nier turned out to be beyond fantastic. Like I was I was not at all excited about Nier. It's just not necessarily my thing. And after about 25 minutes of that, I was like, oh fuck, this is slick.
Looks good.
There's the one scene that I put in the video that's there's a jet black tunnel. There's no light. And I fight the guys without getting hit purely by remembering when they might attack. Like, okay, they're probably going to attack right now. So you dodge. And all you see is like flashes of light with my character sliding behind somebody and hitting them and then sliding over here and hitting them. And it's the most, and even one of the developers commented about that in the review. He's like, that is exactly what we wanted people to see this game was capable of. And the movement is just fucking, I don't even know how to describe it. And Reg, you're playing it, right?
Yes.
What do you think? Nier.
Liking it a lot so far. I mean, I played through the demo like 2 times or maybe even 3. Not sure.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And now I started playing it. Got only like 3 hours so far.
I'll tell you something embarrassing. Did you know that if you jump and dodge right away, you'll dodge backwards?
No.
When you get back on, try this. Tap leap, and then after about a quarter of a second, dodge, and you'll dodge backwards. But then if you hit the light attack, you'll jump forward.
Okay.
So there's these awesome scenes where like a guy will be swinging, I'll jump up, go back, his sword will miss, and then you jump back. Oh dude, it just awesome. Works. It fucking feels like a counterpuncher in like boxing, if you've ever seen a really good counterpuncher. The only problem with Nier, I think, is that their landscapes are drab as fuck in that game.
Yeah.
It's like walking around a world where two cars fucked and just replicated themselves thousands of times. It's like 700 elementary school buses and 2000 1950s Chevys, and they're all rusted, but they're the same. It's like the same model used hundreds upon hundreds.
Graphics aren't really something to talk about in this game.
Well, I don't know. The lighting.
The art style, yes. Yeah. The lighting, yes. But the implementation of it.
at times.
It's
Yeah, like the water always looks weird. It looks like the water is traveling at 1,000 miles an hour in the ripples. You'll be like, whoa, what's going on here? It's like...
But all the cloned buildings that all look the same, just at like slightly different angles.
Yeah, yeah. I definitely think the game is fantastic.
Yeah, the gameplay itself is very good. So,
People who have...
I'd rather have 60 frames than it looking better than it does.
For that game... That makes total sense. Like 60 frames is the way it should be for that game, for sure. Or close to 60, because it does
have fairly frequent drops, actually.
Definitely. Yeah. So I did want to discuss just for a second, at least, what everybody thought of. So if you've been watching the news, if you've online at all, you see a ton of Andromeda stuff, like literally a ton of Andromeda stuff. Like every moment there's a new trailer or a new bit for Andromeda. Reg, has this like PR explosion like made you more interested in it? Have you watched any of it? No.
Some. I've watched some, and I thought of some of the pieces that they looked better than the trailer that we were discussing the one time.
Right.
It got me maybe a little bit more interested, or more hopeful at least, because I liked what I saw in those pieces I've seen now.
Mm-hmm.
But for me personally, it's probably a must-buy either way. So, gotcha.
And it's an explosion of PR too. Like, I mean, I think it's every day there's at least one, if not two, videos about it. What about you, Go? Are you seeing stuff and going like, oh?
Yeah, I am. Yeah, I am too. And I think it's par for the course now. You see a lot of other like the big developers doing this. I mean, you saw it happen with Mafia 3. They did promotion out the wazoo.
Yeah.
And I think it's just their way. They're trying to reach out and, you know, grab the attention as many consumers as possible by YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, anywhere they can get it. They're going to try and get it in order to obviously get sales. So, I mean, it's just unfortunately the nature of the beast now, just like with cinematic trailers. I hate cinematic trailers because most of the time it's not what the game turns out to be. But unfortunately, it is what it is.
Yeah. Are you more or less interested in some of the stuff you've seen? I mean, are you like, oh, this looks cool?
I never really got into Mass Effect. So, I mean, I hear it's a really good series. It's just that because I never got into it, I never played it, which is unfortunate for me. I just have no real interest in Mass Effect Andromeda. I mean, maybe if I went back and played the other three games, maybe I would be eventually, but I have yet to go back and play the other three. So.
Well, no, that's a good impression to hear, because they've stated that their trailers, their video that they've shown, and the game are supposed to get new people involved.
Yeah.
So if it's not grabbing you, that's something to be talked about. Like there's nothing wrong with that at all. Silver?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's going to be plenty of people that are going to be new to the series. They're going to want to jump on board right away. But it really feels like to me that I'd want to go back and play the first three games because of, you know, how many people praised the first three games.
Right.
And I feel like I'd be missing out. You know, kind of like I did with Witcher 3. I played Witcher 3, but at the same time, there was stuff that was mentioned and talked about in the game that I really wish I would have played the first two games on. So it's kind of that issue. But I'm sure a lot of new people will come play it. It looks potentially good.
Yeah. Silver?
And
Oh, go ahead. Reg.
I don't expect that much background knowledge is required, because it's a completely different story with completely different characters. So maybe they mention some of the back stuff at places.
Yeah.
But I think you really don't have to play any of the previous ones.
That's certainly the intention that I get from BioWare, is that you don't need to have any prior knowledge.
What do you think of it, Silver? Like all of the trailers and stuff, is anything grabbed your attention? Made you go, oh, wow.
I think probably the closest thing is probably the trailer showing off the shooting aspect. Like the jetpack looked fun.
Gotcha.
That was basically it. Other than that, I think it's just been total overexposure. Like, just the usual hype machine kicking it up to 11. And showing off the parts of the game that they probably don't want to be showing off, like the fact that BioWare still doesn't know how to render hair.
Or like faces.
Yeah, it still looks like it does in the first Mass Effect.
It looks like everybody walked out of a fucking LA boutique after getting Botox. Like, something is fucked with their faces. Like, something is... If aliens landed and saw, like, or didn't see us, but saw pictures of us in video games, they'd be like, we're not even landing here. Something is wrong with their fucking mugs, man.
Yeah, and the hair looks like it belongs in a plastic Playmobil figure. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, you'll make some spaghetti. Yeah, there's definitely some issues there. Landau, have you seen, you've been busy, obviously, but have you seen any of the stuff about Andromeda recently?
Yeah, I've seen some stuff. Recently, not as much. I've seen some, like, the teaser trailers and stuff that come on recently, like, on TV and stuff. But I was looking into gameplay and stuff before I left, so I've seen, I don't know what else they would have to offer other than, you know, other
they showed some car driving stuff. They showed the inside of the spaceship.
Yeah,
they showed
I've seen that.
They showed that you can upgrade the Citadel or whatever they're calling it.
I didn't know that. That's cool. Yeah. I don't know. I'm not caught up in the hype machine yet. Maybe it's just because I've been gone. But my sister is, but she was going to be. They didn't even have to show one trailer, and she'd be excited for Mass Effect. So I'm gonna play it. Eventually, I may not get it day one. It's going to be good. I'm excited for it, but I think it's probably going to be Dragon Age Inquisition with some other stuff, maybe, hopefully not. Even though I like Inquisition, I can't play it that long if it's going to be that same formula. So I don't know. We'll just have to see because EA has really been Ubisofting a lot with their games, with making them all the same. The shooters are the same. The exception being Titanfall, I think. But Titanfall is really similar to Call of Duty. But at least with what they're doing with their like with BioWare, it seems like they're really standardizing what they want from their games. And a lot of developers are doing that. I think it's a mistake. They're not. I feel like it's. Mass Effect will be Mass Effect. Like, from what I've seen, it looks very Mass Effect, whereas Dragon Age Inquisition maybe didn't look that Dragon Age.
That's true. Okay, yeah. I got what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah, but I think at the same time, EA is still really making all their games the same, like a lot of people are doing, and I wish they wouldn't do that, because it's...
Yeah.
I wish that when I played a Ubisoft game, I couldn't tell it was a Ubisoft game. And I wish when I played an EA game, I couldn't tell it's a EA game. I'd rather it be like, oh, this feels like a Tom Clancy game. This feels like a BioWare game or a DICE game. Because, you know, Battlefield doesn't really feel like Battlefield anymore, even though it's good.
That's for
sure. It doesn't feel like Battlefield. It feels like an EA game. It feels like an EA DICE game. So I'm excited. I'm skeptical, but very optimistically so, because even if it's bad, it's going to be good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's Mass Effect. Yeah. I'm excited. It's Mass Effect.
Yeah, I'm excited too, but I will say that, like, you stole the thunder, but everybody said it, but it does really feel like it's Dragon Age Inquisition translated to future. And that I didn't hate Dragon Age Inquisition, but there were some things I just didn't like. And one thing that I was actually on the upswing of excitement, and then they released a video where they said we're going to drive around three planets, and I was like, okay, great, I'll check out these three planets. And it reminded me so forcibly of the planets in the original where you landed and there was one little fucking outpost and they tried to say that it wasn't, but they're like this. They're all, oh, there's some minerals over there, but it's surrounded by bad guys. And you're like, oh god, it's Wildlands. It's like the only places worth going are gonna be. And the sense of discovery is a forced sense of discovery versus a real one, like maybe Zelda, where people are feeling like Zelda's a real sense of discovery, where these games are not so much discovery. It's like, we know that there's bad guys there, which means something is useful there. Yeah. There's no sense of like, I'm just traveling. And even one did okay in some scenes. In one, I don't know if you guys remember, but there was a pyramid, a glass pyramid you'd occasionally find on some planets, and you were like, but you could never figure out. I mean, it didn't show you or do anything. You just saw it and you're like, what the fuck is that? It seems like mystery is missing, and there's no mystery. It's like there's they were driving and they're like, okay, we've got a lot of iron right here. Let's mine it. And they push a button and a drone sits there and they're like, okay, just leave the drone there. It'll mine on its own. And you're like, okay.
Wow.
I mean, to me, it started to feel a little bit like you said, like EA games.
I get what Landau's saying, but in all fairness, most other developers, including my favorite, Rockstar, is guilty of the same thing. I mean, you can tell when it's a Rockstar game by Grand Theft Auto, Red Dead, Bully, whatever.
For sure, yeah.
But one thing I really hope is that maybe after this, EA will let BioWare make a new KOTOR. We need a new KOTOR.
We do. The IP is so fucked up on KOTOR. I don't even know, like, the rumor is that movie style stuff, nothing can occur prior to the first movie, not the prequels. Yeah, the prequels. Nothing can occur prior to the prequels. So that means Knights of the Old Republic would be the only one able to do that is the MMO.
It's only like it's almost like it's its own IP.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they've even pretty much said that.
Canon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how all this pans out. But I want to like Andromeda. It's just, I gotta say, we talked about this in the Discord. There's really something going on with the graphics engine, and I'm gonna definitely look at this once I jump in. But I'm playing 3 right now with no mods, by the way. And the textures on like the Krogan and the Asari and all that stuff are much higher than they are in Andromeda. And I don't know if that's breadth being so big, you know, the horizontal space of this game being so massive that they've had to dumb down some detail. But there's this one part where a Krogan is talking in the new trailer, and they look like they've got like 64K textures. Like, you're just looking at it going, whoa, some. And like their bodies, if you look at the way their bodies are set up, they're slightly odd. Like, I don't know, man. They're using Frostbite, right? You guys corrected me because I thought it was Unreal and it was Frostbite. So
yes,
maybe
switched over.
Yeah, maybe it's an element of Frostbite.
I'm almost certain it is.
Yeah, if it's an element of Frostbite, that means that this game can be massive and you can land on these planets and they aren't just copies of ME1, then I'm totally, like, I'll be fine. I mean, I can understand when you have to drop some detail down.
Yeah,
but it just looks weird. Oh, for example, who are the guys? What's Garrus? What's his race?
Turian.
So there's a video of a Turian talking, and it just looks terrible. And his eyes don't look like they're in the actual skull of the model. There's all these weird little idiosyncrasies, and I think we talked about this in the Discord where I said it looks like meshes are messed up. It looks like the modeling. Mm. So
right.
You know, I don't know.
And the one guy with the bald cap.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And there's like, for example, to talk about, if somebody wants to know what lack of detail in a texture means, because I say this in reviews a lot, basically, there's less detail. It's almost like blurring out. The easiest way to describe it is turn your sharpness all the way down on your TV, if it is, or all the way up, and you can see the difference. There's this one particular part of the trailer Reg and I were watching where it's a black guy talking to the female shepherd. No, the male rider. And then there's a female in the back. And the guy on the right, he looks like he's wearing a bald cap because there's so little texture detail that it looks like just one, almost one uniform color. And I was like, oh, this must be YouTube compression, which makes sense because YouTube can ruin a video. But then we went and got the natural, the legit HD version of it, and it still had that problem. So I don't know. It could just be HDR too, because remember, this is an HDR game. They could be doing these trailers in HDR and they're not translating well when they do the conversion. It's totally possible. It's also nerve-wracking because Mass Effect looks so good.
Next week, Thursday on EA Access.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll know.
That's when the 10-hour trial starts.
Isn't that crazy? We're all going to get, well, I'll probably have a review copy, but we're all going to get access to the game prior to reviewers able to post it. Reviewers are pissed about it. They're like, well, you should be able to post prior. But it's awesome. EA Access continues to be worth the $5 or whatever the fuck they charge. Yeah. Like,
just to briefly return to the marketing, I think Landau touched on what really frustrates me about the marketing for Andromeda with his sister being hyped just because it's Mass Effect. If there is a game franchise that basically sells itself through word of mouth, it's Mass Effect. Mm-hmm. And they could have, I think the right promotional approach would have been a more minimalistic one rather than the overexposure that they're basically giving it right now. And that's what frustrates me about their marketing campaign at the moment.
I feel like it may be because of the negative feedback that Mass Effect 3 got. EA may feel like they need overexposure to win back fans that may have been burned by the last game. That, I mean, that I feel like that might be their thought process on that.
Maybe, but I don't think that's the right way to go about it. But maybe.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yes.
Yeah. There's probably a reason, but whatever we're seeing now is just like, yeah. It's going to be interesting to see if we see this from every company, if they, you know, don't talk about it too much, and then suddenly you get like 800 videos or whatever. As Go said, it has been happening a lot with other publishers too. So it's just, it is hard sometimes because it's so much chaff that you're trying to look through it and go, what do I care about versus what they're showing? Like it becomes difficult to even sort of parse all the data.
And also at the point where if you basically watch all the content, what's left to discover in the game that hasn't already been revealed?
Yeah. Well, I was describing it to somebody a couple days ago. I was like, the Mass Effect release of PR is quite simply exactly like the cutting of current movies today, which is every 5 seconds you cut. And instead they've cut the trailers into bits and you're getting a trailer every day. And change your focus, and you're just, fuck, man, just show something long.
Yeah.
Luckily, they did have the one video. IGN did like the first hour of Mass Effect Andromeda. The problem is that spoiler, right? Like a lot of people are going to be like, great, thank you, but I don't want to see the first hour. And in some of the trailers, they were cut. The one where they showed the jetpack, they were cutting it so quickly that it was like hard to even figure out exactly what was occurring at any one time. It was just like cut. And I think a little bit of care is probably necessary for some of these titles, but yeah, it'll be interesting. I don't know. I'm hoping it's good. God damn it. Cause
of course.
It's not, it's going to suck.
So
question I was asked, and I'm going to post it to you guys before we talk about what we've been playing. Does playing as a girl or playing as a guy? Yeah. As Reg already scoffs, bother you. I guess there were some people on one of my YouTube videos. Oh, it was for Horizon. People were like, I don't want to play as a girl. And I don't really think that way. Maybe it's because I'm a reviewer. I'll explain my reasoning for what that is. And I don't want to say that if it bothers you guys, that's a negative, by the way. So don't worry about what I'm going to say. But like Landau, does the sex of a character in a role-playing game, in an action game, whatever, matter to you?
Well, I think it does sometimes, only like if I'm allowed to create my own character, like I'll always make a male, because whenever like in an RPG or something, I like to try and like see myself through the character.
Okay.
And I think that's where a lot of people come from whenever they say the sex bothers them, because they like to like put themselves in the situation. And I think when the sexes change, it disconnects them from that. But that being said, it doesn't bother me if I play as a girl, because if I'm being forced to play as a character, that means it's no longer me. I'm observing another character's journey. Right. So the sex doesn't matter, you know? So like if I'm playing an RPG like Skyrim, I don't make female characters, not because I'm sexist, just because I like to put myself in those situations.
Okay.
Like when I play Skyrim, I don't make an Argonian. I make a Nord. That's a dude that is like, I can like put myself into the world. It helps me play those games. But like Horizon, like if somebody has a problem playing Horizon, then you should also have a problem playing Tomb Raider, you know?
Or reading books.
Yeah, it's like, or
watching movies.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry.
Like that's the same argument that people had for Mad Max Fury Road. Like, you know, it doesn't make any sense. You're observing another character's journey. That's somebody else's artistic vision. You shouldn't have a problem with the sex of that character, because it's a character that somebody else created for their own vision, not your vision. So if you're creating your own character, then yeah, make him a male. But if it's a game like that, like you're supposed to observe that other character's journey. And if you don't like that journey, then you don't like the game. I mean,
yeah.
If it's because of the sex, I mean, that's weird, but whatever.
Gotcha. What about you, Silver?
Yeah, I don't understand that line of thinking. I mean, I don't mind whatever I'm playing at it as, if it, whether it's an antelope or a male human or a female
or a
human
fucking
or
robot
whatever it is.
Or whatever it is.
It's all about the character itself and what's driving the character that you're playing.
Right. And would you agree then with Landau that like on an RPG?
Completely.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah. What about you, Go?
I mean, I understand the projection. that a lot of people feel like they need to project themselves onto the character or see themselves reflected in the character that they create.
Yeah, for sure. What about
that
you?
That I can understand.
Well, I feel that it shouldn't matter as long as it's a good game and a good story. It shouldn't matter. And if you go and you compare the number of male protagonists in games to female, there have been way more male characters, a bazillion more at least. And to get salty over the fact that there are some games out there that have a female character like Metroid or Tomb Raider or Horizon, and you're not going to play because it's a female character, then that's your loss, because those are fantastic games. And yeah, you know what? I've played as male characters and I've played as female characters, and I've enjoyed the games just as much either way. It doesn't really matter to me if they're, you know, male, female, white, black, etc. I mean, as long as it's a good game, I love playing it. And that's the entire point. It's a video game. It's just like you were saying a moment ago. Okay, so where are we going to draw the line at? Oh, I'm no longer going to read books or watch TV shows or movies because the main character happens to be female? I mean, half the population of the planet is female. And a growing percentage of gamers are now female. It's a fact of life.
Yeah, for sure. What about you, Reg?
Yeah, like pretty much everyone else has said, if there it's a something that has a character creator, I will make a male character. But apart from that, if it's a set story, I don't care either way. Not for once I have thought, oh no, why is it a woman in Horizon, for example? It's
yeah.
The game is good, and that's what matters.
Yeah. I mean,
even with the male characters in games that give you a character, I don't see myself in him unless he has a stamina meter and can only run 5 feet.
And then it's you.
But apart from that, it's not me either, right?
Unless he's got a heart condition and bad asthma. It's not Rich. Yeah, so it's just a question that came up, especially with Horizon. Funny enough, in Discord, we were talking about it, and some people who played Tomb Raider, I caught saying they wouldn't play Horizon because it was a female, and they didn't realize I knew that they had played Tomb Raider. And so I was like, well, you played Tomb Raider. And then it became, then it fell apart, and it was, and I don't really know why it fell apart on their part. Like, I don't know why they didn't put those two together, but they themselves had not. It could be Horizon's, I don't know what it is, but it was certainly a hot topic because I was getting different comments on the YouTube channel about it. And it was odd to me because I get what Landau's saying where, you know, if it's a role-playing game, maybe you put yourself into it, I guess. For me, though, I'm not a magic-using samurai, and I'm not a steampunk robot. I'm not. So I don't have that ability to do that. And if there's an RPG, I get what he meant. He creates a Nord. That makes complete sense. Like, I get that. Yeah. And I would say that at one of my playthroughs, I would, but then the next playthrough, I would be a Khajiit or what, you know, like something different. Because yeah, I mean, like, that's, if you're going to draw the line in that, then you're going to have to start looking at like books and TV shows and sitcoms and blah, blah, blah. And I'm not almost any of those things, but I think actually Landau said it best when he said that you're sort of seeing the story that another person created. And
yeah,
if you have a problem with that, then there's a difficulty with other fiction and stuff as well.
Yeah, I think the main thing, with a better way for me to say that, would be that with video games as a medium, since you're control, it gives you that illusion of control. I feel like the sex thing is a very similar, it may be, a lot of it is sexist, don't get me wrong, but I think it may be, I'm just trying to play devil's advocate here, kind of the same thing where people did not like that the character has a voice in Fallout, because when you play Fallout 3 or New Vegas, you kind of have this voice in your head of what you want your character to sound like. And so I think a lot of people, like, they play a lot of RPGs and then they go into a Horizon or something like they just got done playing Mass Effect.
Where
Mass
it's Effect, a forced narrative in Horizon.
Exactly. And they may not want that anymore. They may still want that control, whereas the game's not meant to give you that control. So I think with video games too, compared to sitcoms or books or movies, I think like you said, it's somebody else's story being told to you, but people get too caught up in telling their own story in video games that I think sometimes it's hard for them to take that away, which is why
they feel a sense of ownership. Yeah.
Yeah, so when that ownership is taken away, I think that's when you get like, why do I have to play as a girl? Why is my character talking for me? You know, stuff like that. Whereas that's not the vision that the developers had, but that's the vision that that gamer wants. But and there's a clash there, which shouldn't be there because you have to select your games more wisely at that point. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't... I certainly don't have a problem with somebody. I have to play everything as a reviewer. I would have done this anyway because I, you know, for example, Jade Empire, I played as a female multiple playthroughs of that or KOTOR. But as a reviewer, mine's a little different than a normal gamer. Like a normal gamer, they can sort of pick and choose where I'm like, hey, I got to play Horizon. And it's weird because I wish everybody could be a reviewer because to be honest, the changes that occur when you start reviewing games are only positive. Like, I've been blown away by how much more open my own, like, sort of borders are for what I'll experience because I have to experience it to tell somebody, you know, if it's good or whatever. It has been fantastic. The thing that gets me is, see, I don't even consider this an issue. So, like, when it's questioned, I'm like, oh, wow, I never brought it up in the review because to me, I just didn't even think about it. But I remember the big hubbub about Assassin's Creed Unity not having females in their multiplayer. Or in fucking Battlefront, Battlefield, when they said that they want to be historically accurate. Yeah. Battlefield, they want to be historically accurate. And it's like, well, then you're fucked up in all ways. But it is weird that those things come up because I just don't even, I mean, it just doesn't even get talked about around me. Like, no one even thinks that way. I get the thought process now that you guys have described it, but it's pretty alien. But I would assume the people who don't like being the opposite sex, including females, because I do know I have some female followers who are like, hey, to be brutally honest, like, I hate playing, you know, Mad Max in Mad Max. I want to play female Mad Max. Like, and I, oh, okay, you know, but it just doesn't pop into my head. I don't know. It's sort of sad because I don't want to see developers forced. If, like, let's say if a developer wants to do Syndicate, but they decide to do Two Brothers, as long as the game is good, I don't need the female. I don't need Evie. And if it's two females, I wouldn't need Jacob as long as it was good. Mm-hmm. Like, that's all I care about. One thing I don't like is I don't like forcing a narrative on the creator, whether it be a sitcom, a book.
No, of course.
You know, kind of stuff. Absolutely really not. Scares me. Not because I don't think that they shouldn't broaden their horizons, but because that forcing of narrative, if that's not the story they want to tell, then the story won't be as good. Like, you got to have somebody
and
fired
you can feel
up.
It.
And you can feel it.
You can feel it. Yeah. Like, you know, when every single character in a game is bisexual, like, you know what I mean? Or like, you know, every, you know, and it's like, why did you do this? Like when they announced in Dragon Age Inquisition, when they announced Dorian as a character, and Dorian's a fucking badass character, but like their main selling point for him, his one thing was that he was gay. He was the first fully gay character. Not anything about him as a character was announced, like, other than he was a magician. Like, when they announced him on IGN, I was like, boom, first fully gay character in Dragon Age. Instead of like, this guy's a badass magician, he's also gay. You know, you can tell they're playing to a demographic.
Yeah.
When it's done and it doesn't feel right, it doesn't feel right when they do it. Like, well, it's not done right, it's not tasteful.
And what's weird to me is, because I do have, I would say, I do have like a couple of gay gamers and gay friends who are in my social circle who have actually expressed a lot of like disinterest towards that kind of stuff. Like, can you bang? You know, can you bang this person? And a lot of people are like, who gives a shit? I mean, sex and games is stupid anyway. Romantic relationships are terrible. Is the game good? Like, I don't give a shit if I can go have alien sex unless it makes sense and is good. Like, does it make sense in the story? And I think this all comes together as like some people feel challenged. Some people don't even give a shit. And then some people are sort of in the middle. But it's certainly a big issue. And I do agree that sometimes when you see a news headline or something, you're like, is that what we want to focus on? Because the people I know who are whatever that demographic, that's not what they want to focus on. So I'm always confused where those people are getting their demographic info from.
But usually that's also not the demographic that's screaming the loudest if it's not included.
Yeah,
it's always someone else that's getting outraged if on behalf of that group, usually.
Well, and you just that's what I should have said, because that's exactly what goes on. It's like I'll bring it to the group and be like, hey, blah, blah, blah. And they'll be all, who gives a fuck? Like, what? Like, why are we even talking? And I'll be all, oh, OK, well, then that makes sense. And, you know, a lot of them will just be like, this is the way. And it's the same way with me. I don't ever think about you know, a game's protagonist as the main part of a story anyway. I usually think of the story. Like, it doesn't really matter if it's a female, male, fucking, like, some kind of magic-using transformer. I just sort of play it because I'm hoping the story is good and the gameplay is good. But anyway, it's a good question to ask, and I think it's obviously going to come up. I'm all for having more shit in games of all kinds, more choices for sure.
Yeah.
So having that ability, but I do think that the choice should matter. So if you're talking about, can I have sex with everybody? I think it should matter if you do. Can I do this? It should matter if you do. I think that's a normal gameplay loop.
There should be consequences.
Well, yeah, and there should be a normal gameplay loop, because if something's there for no reason, you just look at it and go, what the fuck is that there for? but if there's a reason, that would make sense. I don't know. I would like the idea of leaving a bunch of Asari babies everywhere in Mass Effect Andromeda. Just fucking, like, just a bunch of Kareks running around. People are like, what's going on? All these biker-looking motherfuckers showed up in my game. Be like, yeah.
And in the next title, you have to pay off the child support.
Yeah, exactly. And so you're flying your shitty...
Mass Effect Alimony.
Yeah, Mass Effect Alimony. You're flying your shitty ship everywhere, and you're fucking just doing jobs because you've got, like, 10 people following you trying to get you to pay for the kids. The last thing I want to talk about is what we've been playing. Let's start with Landau. I know you've been busy, but
well, I just got back. I actually been playing a lot because I just got a PS4 and I didn't have one before. So it came with Call of Duty Infinite Warfare. So I finally played that. I got a chance to play that, and I've actually been playing the shit out of Call of Duty Infinite Warfare. Believe it or not,
I like
the multiplayer.
So. Yeah,
like I play the shit out of it. Like I can't help it. I just like because I got back and I was like, I need to kill things and do it easily. So I've been playing that a lot, and I've been having a lot of fun with that. And Modern Warfare Remaster is really good. So like genuinely good, and I think. I like Infinite Warfare better than Black Ops 3, like a lot better than Black Ops 3. It's a little bit, I mean, it's more goofy, but it doesn't feel more goofy, you know? Black Ops 3 felt really cartoony.
It did, yeah.
This one doesn't feel as cartoony. I like the the way it feels when you walk around. It feels like you're taking steps. It's smooth. I like it a lot more than Black Ops 3, and that's a big statement for someone who is not a particularly big Call of Duty fan, but I've been having a lot of fun with Infinite Warfare. I picked up, I was gifted The Last Guardian because I've been wanting to play that like since it came out, and I never got a chance to because I didn't have a PS4. So I've been playing The Last Guardian. I'm really enjoying it. Mechanics suck, but the game is really good. like the camera just drives me nuts. And
the camera.
Anything
the
like
camera
that.
Isn't a pin. It's like a suggestion.
Yeah. But like every time the freaking Trico or whatever looks at you, like it just feels so alive.
Yeah,
like right. You just forget about it. You just forget about all the problems that the game has because everything feels so real. So I really like it a lot. I mean, I'm only going to play it once and then be done, you know, but I like it. I've been waiting for it when it was coming out, and I just think it's really good. Even if the mechanics suck. I picked up Horizon Zero Dawn yesterday. I haven't been able to play it. And then I was playing For Honor, but I ended up returning it. I really liked it, but I could tell that I was only going to play it for maybe like a month or two and then be done with it. So I was like, I need to just go ahead and return it and get Horizon because I know I'm going to play Horizon for longer. So, but I really liked For Honor. It was really good. Pretty much everything about it was fantastic. It's just I was playing on console and I didn't have a lot of the connection issues that other people were playing, other people were having on PC, excuse me. So I had a good experience with that. And yeah, other than that, it's just Call of Duty and Last Guardian. That's pretty much it.
That's a cool mix. So, yeah. Silver, what about you?
Total War Warhammer, the Britonia DLC. Oh, yeah. Right. Like it launched last week to some brouhaha because Creative Assembly messed up and they basically managed to completely outrage their community again. Like threats upon threats in online forums and everything are full of outrage. But I really, I've enjoyed the content. The new units are a lot of fun to play with. Like there's some great, the Grail Reliquary is basically four peasants who walk around with a wooden beam with a dead knight mounted on top and just basically curb stomp all the enemies in front of them and give morale boosts and stuff to the surrounding units. It's a very fun unit. And the Bretonian campaign is a lot of fun to play with as well, with the new economic systems, the peasant economy and stuff like that. So it's been very enjoyable.
Very cool. Very cool.
And I've also been playing Wildlands and Breath of the Wild. One thing I'd like to add about Breath of the Wild is I really enjoy like the enemy design. The enemies really feel like they have personalities. Mm. Like if you, when they go to sleep at night, they actually put down their weapons and they have to go over and pick them up when they wake up.
Yeah. Right.
Or you, when you disarm a bokoblin or and go then pick up his weapon and start beating him, he'll like point at you and he'll start screaming like, "How dare you!" And it's just full of like little touches like that that I really appreciate that give the enemies character and personality.
That's very cool. What about you, Go?
Yeah, I've been playing Horizon Zero Dawn, but the moment I got Zelda, it's just like I got sucked into Hyrule once again. And I feel the same way that Silver does about the characters, like that wizard that dances around.
Yeah.
You know, and I hate that character. I hate him so much, but
me too.
He just obviously just has this like malevolent attitude. Like he's all having a good time, but at the same time, he wants to murder you. He wants to kill you any which way he can. But he's having fun doing it though. So, but wow, yeah. I mean, it's such a fantastic game. And I've only got one of the Divine Beasts so far, and I don't really have this desire to beat the game. I just want to keep exploring and, you know, getting hearts and stamina, more weapons, outfits, etc. Eventually, I'm going to beat it, but I like the fact that there's no push for you to beat it.
Yeah,
It's about the journey on that one for sure.
Exactly.
Or the fact that you can just rush the boss immediately, almost like immediately, as soon as you leave the starting area, you can basically rush the end boss if you want. And have the skill for it.
I wouldn't recommend it.
I wouldn't.
I had trouble beating like the first divine, like the water blight Ganon. Like he whipped my ass so many times before I finally beat him. So no, I'm gonna do the right thing. I'm gonna get the other divine beast. I'm gonna get everything I need to get, as many hearts, as much stamina as I can get, and the best weapons and outfits, armor. And then I'm gonna go after Ganon's ass. But until then, I'm just gonna have a lot of fun.
Very cool. What about you, Reg?
Well, like everyone else, Zelda as well. Although not only, I did play a lot of other games too. Snipper Clips on the Switch as well, that puzzle game. That's especially fun co-op if you really sit down and two people play the game together.
Mm-hmm.
Voice, or however it's called, that's also on the Switch, but also on tablets and mobiles. Mm-hmm. It's a rhythm game. That's for the Switch.
What's it about, voice?
That's a basic rhythm game. You have like over 100 songs you can choose from, and then just the typical. It's stuff is going past, and you have to tap.
Gotcha.
Anything else, or is that about it?
Well, a bit of Horizon, a bit of Nier, a bit of Oxygen, not included. The last one you might not know, that's currently in alpha and from the Clay guys, Don't Starve, Invisible Ink, Crypt of the Necrodancer, that company. I think that's about it.
Excellent. By the way, people, Landon had to go. He had something technically wrong, so he had to jump off. Let's see, what have I been playing? Sticks, pretty much. Matter of fact, somebody emailed me last night and they were like, dude, you've been on Sticks for like 22 hours in a row. It's just, if I like something, I'll just sit and play. I mean, like time just, you know how it is.
Yeah.
Like, time just disappears. Yeah. And luckily enough, I have enough crank or whatever that my time goes longer than other people's, I guess. I don't know. I can't talk about Sticks final, but I can say that it builds on the original. And let's see. Zelda's sort of changing as I continue to play it, like what I like, what I don't like. But the one thing that I absolutely hate is the fact that I don't know how I'm going to do the review. So I should probably warn people right now. I have no clue how I'm going to do the review. I posted two videos, both got copyrighted strikes right away on my test account. One thing I'm nervous about is I do not want my account having any copyright strikes. I just of any kind, even if they're the ones that are just like, hey, we're still going to let you post it. That kind of stuff bothers me. So what I may
You could hide it in a podcast.
Yeah. So what I may do is I may link to a video that's not YouTube for folks. I do have somebody who offered me server room with a link to play in the browser. And they, you know, they're like, we can handle 6-7 million hits. So, which is because you, because the video's going to be big no matter what. Not because it's me. Anybody who posts a Zelda review right now is probably going to have a lot of hits. And so I wanted to make sure I didn't destroy somebody's server. Or something. I mean, that's probably pretty much it right now. I'm definitely looking forward to Andromeda. I think I'm getting a review copy. That's supposedly I am. I'll leave my personal opinion if that's going to happen out of the podcast. The last thing I did get was something very cool. It was Prey. They sent out a physical, and I think this is cool just because of what it looks like and stuff, not because I think the game's going to be cool, because I have no clue. But they sent out these, it's hard to see with the light, these journals for Prey from a doctor. They're like fake, you know, they're like PR stuff. And there's data inside of it. And I got to be honest, speaking a little bit about Andromeda trailers and stuff, this has done more for me than any trailers and gameplay has for Prey. Like, I read it and I'm all, oh, wow, what? And I was more interested in Prey after reading this than any of those, you know, 1 hour let's plays and shit of the video. I don't know why, but I'm very, very stoked to see how Prey is going to turn out. Even though it's not Prey 2, I get that. And then let's see, somebody offered to buy me For Honor to do a review. Please do not. I can't go back and, you know, once a game's out and people have done reviews, if I don't get back to it, I probably never will. I just don't have the time. And Nier, again, I think this will be the fourth time technically, I've already got all the endings, but this will be like the third or fourth restart. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. How many endings have you got, Reg? Have you got any of them yet?
I think so, God. No. I just started.
Well, they have the fake endings, remember? This is one of those games that has the fake endings a lot. So I was just wondering if you got... You would know if you've got to them. So.
Okay, no.
But I want to thank everybody for watching. I got to get going here because I got to go to another podcast. Yeah. But thanks, guys, for showing up. That was awesome to have Landon back on. Probably be on maybe next week. We'll see. I think he has to go back to... I think he has to go to his true deployment here soon.
Yeah,
so.
He has to go to his ship. Yeah. He's going to be a captain now.
Yeah, exactly. Dude, next thing we know, like, fucking got his Captain Stubing hat
Captain
on and
Landau.
Shit. Captain Landau. Exactly. All right. Peace out, everybody. Thanks for watching.
Peace out.